So, did anything happen in America while I was away? I must admit, one of the nicer aspects of being on sabbatical for 2.5 months was that I did not have to wrestle week in and week out with how to squeeze some good news out of all the bad. And while that part of me would still like to be on sabbatical, wandering the streets of Paris or sitting in a cool cathedral at evensong, the rest of me is glad to be back with all of you lovely folks. The theme that clearly stands out in today's readings from Genesis and Luke is hospitality. Both stories feature a visit from the divine to a humble household. Abraham lives in a tent in the desert with his wife Sarah. As he peers out from his tent flaps through the shimmering heat waves, he perceives three men approaching. We, of course, are told from the start, the Lord appeared to him. But Abraham, too, senses something special, otherworldly about these visitors. Also, extending hospitality was, in his day, the primary act of civilized interactions. So he rushes out to invite them to sit for a little bread and water, then hurriedly has Sarah and their servant prepare a lavish meal. This pleases the three enough that one of them says, "I will return in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." Now, we Christians see this story as a visitation by God, the Holy Trinity. And if you were listening closely, you might have heard them referenced in both the singular, "the Lord appeared to him," and "he said, my Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes," but also the plural, "the three men for whom three cakes were prepared." One scholar suggests that Abraham was simply addressing the greatest of the three as "my Lord," singular. I, of course, prefer the more mystical three in one and one in three of the Holy Trinity. In any case, the hospitality Abraham and Sarah offer these unexpected guests is pleasing in God's eyes. Martha and Mary welcome Jesus and his disciples to their home in Bethany near Jerusalem. As Martha busily sets about preparing a meal for the new arrivals, Mary simply plops herself down at Jesus' feet to hear him teach. After about 15 minutes of passive-aggressive banging of pots and pans in the kitchen, Martha storms into the living room and cries, "Jesus, don't you care that she's left me to do all the work by myself? Make her help me." Hospitality, after all, is still of utmost importance in this culture. But Jesus, with compassion in his voice, says, "Martha, Martha, you worry and fret over so many things, when there's need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better portion, which will not be taken away from her." Now, we never hear what happens next in the text. But if Martha was anything like I am, she might have quietly walked out of the living room, into the kitchen, turned off the stove, then come back and plopped down right next to Mary, saying, "I'm choosing the better portion too. Hope you're not hungry." Jesus gently chides Martha, not for her lack of hospitality. It's that she lets the worries and distractions of fixing a meal get in the way of a joyful visit from friends and from the divine. And maybe that's not fair to Martha, but the lesson still pertains. How will you receive a visit from God in your heart when it comes? Will the cares and concerns of your day-to-day life blind you to the mystical arrival of the divine presence in your day, one that longs to share in those very concerns and offer you peace and hope? Or can you see how God is already at play all around you, that no visit is necessary? All that's required are eyes focused on the sacred in everyone and everything. And the only act of hospitality needed is for you to say in your heart, welcome, come on in. Those four words, welcome, come on in, are strangely hard to say when so much of the world's news and our own struggles unground us, make a mess of our internal homes so that welcome and hospitality are beyond us. Instead, what we require is action from God, not mere presence, to right the wrongs and heal the wounds. But it might just be that the first step towards any action from the divine is to sit still ourselves and listen. Look out for its arrival. Let it in to encourage and strengthen us. And then be the conduit of godly grace and action ourselves. It might just be easier to get back in the kitchen and distract ourselves amid the pots and pans of life. William and I received so much gracious hospitality in our 5 weeks in England and Scotland, and I the same in Paris the month prior. There is so much kindness out there. Hotel staff wanted to adopt us, which William really wanted to take them up on. We were invited to coffee at one cathedral canon's home and dinner at another's. We were given special visits to an ancient chained books library and to secret gardens only clergy can access. I'm sure it didn't hurt that we, as a pair, when we show up, are pretty adorable. Especially the one wearing the bow ties. But almost everyone was sweet to us. There was one day, however, when I wasn't so lovable. Well, probably more than one day. We were visiting Durham Cathedral, and I had a meltdown. They had closed the Galilee Chapel at 3:45 p.m. for no apparent reason, when the cathedral itself was open until 5 p.m. That meant I wasn't able to really visit the tomb of the Venerable Bede. Why did they close it so early? I fumed to William, who, whenever this happens, poor guy, knows enough to keep silent and just rub my arm. It took me until after evensong at 6:15 p.m. to recover, but only after venting to a poor verger. Don't you know that some of us come for worship and prayer to this place? Why so arbitrary a closure? I even confirmed earlier with one of your colleagues that the whole cathedral would remain open. Wim was a patient saint throughout, but I get this way sometimes, a bee in my bonnet, when I sense an injustice has been committed. When I posted this story on Facebook, Gigi Fate, one of our parishioners here, you know, commented, "What a little brat." Which was true. Regardless of the hospitality I felt was not being extended to us by Durham Cathedral, I was a bad guest, the stereotypical ugly American. Looking at the world through the lens of our scriptural theme today, it is an understatement to use the word inhospitable to describe what's being done to so many. The cruelty of masked men yanking people off the streets, from their workplaces, separating them from their families, and deporting them to unrelated third nations in the throes of their own violence. The horror of witnessing a people being starved to death, then offered food at a very few locations, then shooting at and bombing them when they approach those food distribution sites in desperation. Am I missing something? Is there an explanation for these things I have not comprehended? Inhospitable? Evil, actually. The opposite of hospitality. This is my home, not your home, and not only are you not welcome, I will destroy you. The recent bombing of a school in Gaza City left I don't know how many dead, but they included both parents and the only sibling of 5-year-old Hanin Al-Wadi, whose photo I saw in The Guardian, an English newspaper, last week. Her head and both arms bandaged, uncle sitting next to her. Hanin's eyes were red and downcast, and her brow furrowed. Just your typical suffering Palestinian child in a war zone photo that we glance at and glance away from. Except for this one detail that caught my eye. On her white t-shirt, there were three little crowns, the kind a child might draw with three points on top. And under those crowns, in all caps English, on the little girl was the word queen, which is exactly what she is. And the inhumane unhospitality this world has offered to such royalty when it's shown up outside our tent flap is damning. What will become of us who have not welcomed the stranger or cherished them as royalty as God does? How will we ever answer for all of this inhospitable wickedness? I pray God is as merciful as we are not. And I get that there's only so much we can do to affect the changes needed in our nation and in the world. So let's begin, or rather, let's continue to offer hospitality here at St. Luke's and in our own lives whenever we can. I offer two examples for you this morning of what's already happening. One of our food pantry clients needed hip surgery last month, and he got it. But it was outpatient surgery, and somehow they released him into homelessness without even asking where he'd go to. Thankfully, our pantry volunteers were able, after many frustrating phone calls to various health-related places, to secure some physical therapy treatment, which they would only come and do if he actually had a place to stay. So between the pantry's funds and with the help of the city of Los Gatos, we secured a hotel room for him for 3 weeks. After which he got the PT and is now doing well. This incident has inspired one of our parishioners, a consultant to healthcare organizations, to assist our pantry clients with their health needs moving forward. Thankfully, this man had a hospitable support system to provide the care he needed post-surgery. Not everyone does, and more will lose their support system in the coming months. And then this morning, I received a video clip of a birthday party held at the home of a St. Luke's parishioner. The birthday girl was Camila, youngest member of the Venezuelan immigrant family who've become a part of our church community these past few years. Prior to coming to the U.S., they all went through the long, painstaking process of obtaining refugee status. Camila just turned 14. Everyone was singing, "Feliz cumpleaños a ti," with a few "happy birthday to yous" mixed in. My prayer is that she and her family will be able to celebrate many more birthdays and milestones in this, their adopted country. So today, let us take the example of Abraham, Sarah, Martha, and Mary to heart. Offer hospitality whenever you can, especially to the stranger who comes calling at the door to your heart. Do not neglect to show hospitality to such strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Amen.